Hello, I'm Howard, and welcome to the latest edition of Hot Potatoes, episode 4, I think, where we will be picking two topics for debate, as always. Hot topics, hopefully, the two very city-centric issues picked for today, if you consider them issues at all, that is. To do this, we need only the best, the top-tier mass debaters. It is Steve and Joe. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And, yeah, it's not the first time I've been called that.
Some juvenile humour as it's early in the morning.
Right, so. Yes, I appreciate it.
So you okay, yeah?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Looking forward to this?
Looking forward to this. There's a lot to get our teeth into, and what I like is what I said to you yesterday. Both issues are sort of related, aren't they? So it's kind of one big cover-all, really, today. And it is a subject that we've all probably pondered, you know, to ourselves on the year, so it'll be quite interesting.
We're going to try and combat the agenda, kind of, yeah. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. Been a while, I think. Did we do a history podcast? Seems like a long time ago, anyway, so it's been too long, anyway, so good to have you on the show. You all right?
Yeah, it's good. I'm okay, thank you. I think last time I spoke was reminiscing over some Kevin Keegan promotion era football. So yeah, I'm looking forward to juggling some hot potatoes. Bit of a change.
Where's it all gone wrong since?
And we'll find out shortly.
Well, the topic number one kind of relates to that. So shall we jump straight into it? So, right, topic number one. This is the, I'll say, question, statement. It would be better for City fans if Sheikh Mansour sold his share in the club. Now, best described that, hadn't I? Say where I'm coming from with that point. The key point here is for City fans, not for the club. But we could, and no doubt we'll discuss club implications too. So basically what this relates to, it's a topic I probably wanted to do since, I think Gaysan mentioned in December, the launch of Hot Potatoes. And I thought it worthwhile to look at the life of a City fan, which is what this is about, supporting a, in speech marks, state-owned club. The grief entails, the relentless undermining of achievements, etc., over 15 years down the line. Is it worth it? Silly question. And more to the point, do you care in the slightest? And I think that I know the answer to that for many fans. So, Steve, I'm going to start with you, and obviously you both get to answer most of these questions rather than me, you know, just flipping from one to the other with different questions, and it'll just be an open forum. I think it's good to start with a main question, a starting point. So imagine this hypothetical situation. City changed to what the media considered a more acceptable owner. Let's say a rich English man who made his money in vacuum cleaners, just to use a random example.
Is this hypothetical new owner White as well?
Of course he is, yeah.
Okay.
And City continued to win loads of trophies under this new owner, with Pep on a new contract. Would a lot of City fans change at all in how the club and its achievements were perceived compared to how they were under the previous owner? Which I think is a key question. If you were ever to argue at all there was any advantage to Sheikh Mansour selling his shares and ownership of the club.
No. The perception of City would not change. It's ingrained now. This is who we are now, and this is who we'll be for a generation at the very least. And, you know, I don't know, a national institution of an individual could take over the club. Born and bred, you know, Manchester City fan, you know, made good, and offered really cheap tickets for everyone and all the rest of it. It wouldn't change how we're perceived. The players will have been bought from, you know, the previous owner, and under the kind of the guise of cheating is how people perceive or do perceive it. So that's not going to change, no. So all round, this would be an absolutely pointless endeavour, and not least the fact that it'd be a really kind of self-defeating one for City anyway. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned there that, you know, Sheikh Mansour is not the owner of Manchester City lock stock, you know. He's a majority shareholder now, whereas...
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
He's essentially, though, perception-wise, the owner of Manchester City. So.
Yes, and also he is...
100% the... owner, in a way. That's how it's perceived. City are owned by him. Or by the state. That's the point that's the point of this entire argument, is that we're a state-owned club, and would anything change if we weren't?
It's Sheikh Mansour, the individual, but he is perceived to be the state. He is representing the state, which is why we're called a state-owned club. So he is, and this is not the word that I want to use, but in terms of this debate, he is the problem. I don't see him to be the problem. I don't see any of this to be a problem. But as regards to the perception of the club, then, yeah, it comes down to Sheikh Mansour. And if he sold his shares, would the perception of City change? No. Like I say, that's done now. It's too late for that to change. And it won't change, like I said earlier, for at least a generation. So it's a pointless endeavour anyway.
All right, should we go on to part two then?
Yes, if you could, yes.
We are going to widen this discussion anyway, because it's just, I think that statement I've made is a starting point for a few other things. Joe, I want you to answer the same question, basically. Do you agree with everything Steve said there?
Yeah, I think if the club was to continue in its current guise, i.e. successful, one of the leading clubs in European football, the debate's always going to be, or the perception and the narrative will always be, that the success was built on the previous ownership, the infrastructure of the club, everything around the stadium's got the current ownership's fingerprints all over it. I think the only way the perception, and I'm assuming by perception you mean, for example, the mainstream media's reporting on the club, and
from the fan side. From the fan side, Joe, this is about how our lives as fans, would they change at all? But then that links to what you're reading in the media every day. So it's not just how the media how the media perceive the club directly links to our fan experience in a way. If we're one of those people who consumes information online.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess there's two ways to put it. For me personally, as a fan, would it change my relationship with the club? From a selfish perspective, I just want the club to be successful, to be looked, to be competing, to be healthy, to be in good hands, looked after, in terms of the history of the club, as you'll know from our podcasts, in terms of just ensuring long-term stability of the club is safe. But from outside perspective, unless the club is essentially completely stripped bare and ruined by, I'd imagine, these charges, for example, that are hanging over the club, and the forced out and new owners have to come in from the bottom up, the perception is always going to be, isn't it, that it was built with quote-unquote dirty money and blood money, and it's just never going to change. But from my perspective, maybe it's a typical football fan answer. I just want the club to operate as healthy as possible and be competitive at the top end of the table if possible.
Steve, that's key, is that if success was built in the Sheikh Mansour era, then him leaving basically doesn't change anything.
Well, quite.
Because that's everything that follows will be like, it'll still be, well, it was financial doping, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you could look at the other picture as well, where if City kind of slid down the league and did not do as well, then people will be looking in hindsight and saying, well, all of that success was entirely because you were state-owned and you had all the money, et cetera, et cetera. And again, it would just diminish anything that's been achieved under Pep Guardiola and Roberto
Mancini. For how long?
Forever.
In 30 years?
Yeah, I think so. It would just get passed down generation to generation. Idiots, basically, you know, our parents. And they tell their children, you know, what
their genes are passed down,
Passed down. Not so much in their genes, but what the children are told, you know. If your dad tells you something football related, you accept it as truth when you're a kid. So if you're a 10-year-old and you know, your dad is a Liverpool fan and he's saying to you, oh yeah, but that was the era of City cheating, then that's how that kid's going to always think of that era. I mean, for him, you know, it's a bygone age anyway. So, you know, his dad lived it, he didn't. He's just going to accept that as truth. So it'll just reverberate through the ages. So potentially in terms of the image of this Manchester City, as in the last kind of decade and more, the well-being of that image depends on Sheikh Mansour staying at the club, because if he left and it all went tits up and we slid down to kind of a championship, then it would be diminished further. So you can't win. There's no kind of, there is no possible way of changing the perception of Manchester City. There isn't. And certainly him, you know, Sheikh Mansour leaving the club would only have a negative impact in many, many ways.
Well, I'll stick with you, Steve, because Joe's already answered this in a way. Do you care in the slightest?
What other people think? Yeah, I do. And I care about it so much that I don't go on Twitter anymore. I browse, but I very rarely post on Twitter. I used to be quite a regular, you know, tweeter.
I mean, it's good that you don't anyway, not just for the sake of this argument, you know, this debate we're having here. Let's just put it that way. It's a very, very depressing place on the whole.
I don't read The Guardian. The Guardian is, that was my newspaper for a good many years. I won't go near The Guardian anymore. Same with
Independent.
So why
do you care? Why do you?
Because it's my club and it's getting attacked and it's unfair. You know what? That's ultimately what it comes down to. It's unfair. I mean, there's so many different shades of unfairness to it that basically that's a pod in itself. So it's what? Double standards. Double standards really what? Get under my skin.
Well, what annoys you more, the media part of it or the rival fan part? So hypothetically, if City were owned just by a rich white industrialist, let's say Jim Ratcliffe, he's made his money in oil and plastics, guys, and there were no charges over us, obviously rival fans would still be making excuses as a coping mechanism for why our success was tainted, probably, just not to this level. The media coverage would probably be better. So which side of it is it that gets to you the most?
Media, entirely 100% the media. I do not care one jot what rival fans think, because tribalism just colours everything these days. And I'm as guilty of that as anyone else, you know. If I'm talking about Liverpool, do I talk in a kind of, you know, fair and balanced manner? I do not, same as Manchester United.
So that.
Exactly. So it really doesn't bother me, you know, kind of... I've stopped going to my local pub just because of different circumstances, but I used to be, you know, fairly regular going there, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And the amount of Liverpool fans in there who just say the most atrocious things to me, just stupid, ill-informed things, never bothered me one jot. It's water off a duck's back. But if I pick up a newspaper and I read a journalist who is supposed to know better, and you know what, Howard does know better, write these ill-informed things, then, oh my God, it gets under my skin. To the extent, like I say, where I don't pick up a newspaper these days and I don't go on social media. I don't go on social media not to avoid, you know, Firmino 85468. I go on social media to avoid, like, journalists, essentially, people who are doing the same trade as what I do.
Well, being lady man can't check whether City sold out their allocation for Wembley, I wouldn't assume that all journalists do know better, but hey. Mm. Of course, going off on a bit of a tangent here, because, you know, the fan side of it is important to this argument, but of course the number 115 has entered the chat. Joe, weirdly, I don't think the moral side of City's owner is actually brought up much anymore, because everyone started concentrating on other stuff instead. There's a Newcastle distraction, and in a way that's brought City back into the chat about who their owners are. But of course, 115 dominates the chat. And of course, you know, through the likes of Miguel Delaney, debates over competition and financial doping. That's what people talk about now, the charges linked to doping and cheating that has overtaken the pretend moral concerns people pretended to have in the past, which is weird as well. It just shows what sort of world we're living in. As long as you've got something to attack City at, no one's really doing it with much gusto. They just need a reason to undermine City's achievements. And ultimately, changing the owner would not change that, would it? Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.